It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to season two of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Hey, Rob, where's the beef?
Ooh, where is the beef? I know where it is.
Puppy Monkey Baby has it.
We're talking about Super Bowl commercials, the number one biggest advertising day of the year.
How much money can we waste on 30 seconds? Actually, the E-Trade Monkey one is the funnier one. The E-Trade Baby took over like 10 years of my life or something. It seemed like they were playing that commercial for like fucking seven straight Super Bowls. Are you excited about the game? The disclosure on this game is that we are recording this pregame and we will do the second segment postgame.
Am I excited for the game? Yes and no. Yes, because it's two good teams playing. It's not going to be, you know, Cleveland versus Cleveland.
Broncos, Seahawks? Was that a blowout?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Pats, Giants? Cleveland could have beat the Chiefs. I stand by that. I think a few things had to shake right. They had a shot there.
They did have a shot. I mean, maybe next year it'll be, hello, Cleveland.
All right. What are we talking about next, Rob?
Commercials.
Super Bowl commercials. I think going back and doing the research on this, I feel like there was probably maybe like 50 that I really liked. And after researching and watching some again, probably only like 10 that I actually really liked.
A lot of the beer commercials are usually
redundant.
Either going to be funny as hell or jerkers.
Some of those horse ones are emotional, man.
Yes. There are plenty of really funny commercials out there. And funny, I think, attracts more people to the product, where the sad makes you just think about what the product is trying to do.
But they wanted them to be memorable, obviously. And so oftentimes these commercials have nothing to do with the product. I think some companies are better than others at blending product with actually the theme of the commercial. But this year with the COVID year, the rumor is that they're going to be more emotional. What do you want in a Super Bowl commercial? You want like a 2-minute emotional one, or you want a 30-second laugh out loud one?
Well, you remember way back in the day, I had mentioned it earlier, the 1984 commercial for Apple Computer. It went on.
I like that one with the neo-Nazis. The people that stormed the Capitol were in that one.
That was
directed by Ridley Scott, and it looked like one of his Prometheus early scripts. 1984 won't be like 1984, you know?
It was a good commercial, but I mean, a lot of people want the funny. They want to laugh. If your team is losing bad, at least you can laugh sometimes during the game.
I was going to bring up this point, right? So like, we have gone through some excruciating Super Bowls. The only ones that really, really hurt my soul were the two giant ones. I think after that, some of the other losses, you know, the Eagles lost a big swing and wasn't that bad for me. So there are some losses that weren't quite as bad as others. But when you're emotionally invested and you're having like a tough Super Bowl, you really do need that funny, something to break up the crappy action you're watching. I think when like you have no interest whatsoever and like, you know, sometimes it's a party and there's non-sports fans in the rooms, I think they like some of those long emotional ones.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it gives you time to go and go get your snacks, come back for the game, I guess. I don't know.
All right, so let's break this thing down. I've got a list of a few. I probably got about, like I said, 10 or so. I can get it down to 5.
These are my top 3 favorite that I'm going to pick. So, I mean, they're up to you.
Give me your first one. Right.
This is a recent one. This is very close to my heart, starring an ensemble cast of characters. Including His Highness himself, Lord Big Poppy. Smart Pack.
You got a sonata?
I mean, this thing is chock full of so much Boston accent that you just cannot see that commercial and not think of driving one of those to Boston just to do that. It's Smart Pack your car at the harbor.
The best thing about that commercial is that the cadence at which they throw out the Boston accent is genius. It's not too long, and that's the beauty of it. It's Krasinski, it's Chris Evans. Obviously, you get the cameo from Big Poppy in there. It's just really, really well done. And I like Hyundai. They're a good company. They've always treated me well when I have one.
Lenny Clark's in it, I believe.
Lenny Clark shows up. Rachel Dratch, who has obviously made the character with Jimmy Fallon's character on SNL, famous for many years.
It's just full of Boston. That commercial is Boston.
The one thing I would say is like, if they could have just, they had so much Boston in there, if they could have just co-opted or made some kind of deal with Dunkin' so Chris could be holding a Dunks.
Yeah.
Dunks the best part of my day.
Have a Parliament, take a dump, drink a Dunks. All right. That's my first one. What do you have for your first one?
All right. That's a pretty good one. I do love that one. It was definitely on my list, but I knew you were going to take it. I think for me, the first one that I really want to go with, I'll ease into it. When commercials started getting really clever and they started doing the CGI and stuff. The one that I appreciated was that Snickers commercial with Betty White and Tessio from The Godfather, where she's they had a little pickup football game there. You know, you're playing like Betty White out there. And then the girlfriend shows up with the Snickers and he's like, yeah, I guess that's right. You know, that's a pretty good commercial. Pretty smart. And then Abe Vigoda is the quarterback at the end of the commercial, which is just genius. When you're funny, I prefer you to be a little short. And when you're emotional, I guess you can go the minute and a half there.
That's a funny ass commercial. I mean, it's one of the best out there. I have another one. I often dreamed of having this guy's job. Someone's in there over near the copy machine, you know, taking up too much time, but just making noise, just being played annoying. And all of a sudden, bam, out of nowhere, he's tackled to the ground. My second favorite one is Terry Tate, the office linebacker.
Yeah, that's a pretty great one. It's pretty classic. It has a Reebok commercial. Again, not too long, easy message. And like each hit is like, you can feel it. It's almost like you're sitting on your couch. It wakes you up a little bit. You're like, ooh.
The funny thing about this was for the longest time, a lot of people thought this would actually was a Staples commercial.
Yeah, because it's so office. Yeah, it's so office centric. This is the one flaw with that commercial. And there's a lot of commercials that have this problem, right? You can't really tell it's a Reebok commercial.
No, you just can't.
All right. So for my next one, you know, I've always appreciated Pepsi. And I think that this particular one tugs at you with emotion and then finishes with a laugh, which I think is beautiful. It is, I think it was 95. It was it the Bledsoe, Desmond Howard Super Bowl. I remember it that way, but it might have been the year before that. I was still pretty young then. This is the one where two trucks pull into like, I think a snowy like restaurant, diner, bar thing. And there is a Coke guy sitting at the bar drinking a Coke and a Pepsi guy sitting at the bar drinking a Pepsi. And then they look at each other and then they start like sharing like a handshake, some friendly gestures. They show the pictures of their kids. And then the Coke guy tries the Pepsi and the Pepsi guy tries the Coke. The Pepsi guy gives the Coke guy back his Coke. And then the Coke guy doesn't give back the Pepsi. And then they start fighting. It's pretty genius.
Oh.
And it's pretty clever. It's kind of warm, and then it's also funny finish, which I sort of appreciate. And I've always remembered that commercial. And I'm a Pepsi guy most of the time, so I'm in the minority there.
Pepsi is too sweet. Sorry.
Yep, I get it. I don't drink a lot of soda anymore anyway, but I like the Pepsi.
All right, my third one. This was tough for me to choose. I mean, I do have some honorable mentions. Locally here, when Tommy got the number 6, there was a Shields MRI commercial that came out. And he goes in and he has to take off all of his jewelry. Obviously, he had 5 rings. And the woman says, oh, what about this one? He goes, oh, I almost forgot about that. Okay, sir, you're ready to go in for your MRI. And he says, quite bluntly, roger that. So that was
I had to see that one because it, like you said, it was local. It was hard to find that one. I saw it way after the fact, but I love that commercial.
And this one here, not as local, but let's just say it's those moments when you have a date and you get all excited because you think you're going to get some. And this is the Cedric the Entertainer version of Wise Up. I mean, he's on the couch with this little honey and he goes, would you like a drink? And she goes, yes. What would you like? A Bud Light? Sure. Goes in the kitchen and he starts dancing. He's shaking the bottles up.
Yeah.
He brings them out to her and he opens them up and she gets completely soaked with beer. And then it cuts back to the commercial. He's blow drying her hair, trying to get her back to what she was. Budweiser does have some great commercials, but that one was probably one of the best ones ever.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's a pretty good one. I do remember that one. Cedric has sold it really, really well too. I think, you know, for me, it's probably a tie for number one. And they did a series on these also, you know, Larry versus Jordan, off the backboard, through the rafters, into the window, nothing but net. And McDonald's not known for super clever commercials. This was like 92-ish, right around the Dream Team time. It was genius. It just genius. I don't know what came first, Larry versus Bird, the video game, or this commercial. I think it was pretty close together. And their chemistry was undeniable. And it was just a great commercial. I got giddy every single time it came on.
I actually think it was a tie-in with the game, this commercial. So it made people want McDonald's and play the video game.
Which is hard to do, Rob.
Yeah.
The commercial's so good. And then all of a sudden they fade in a Big Mac out of nowhere. And you're like, don't ruin it.
And that commercial actually took a life on of itself over the course of, I think, 3 Super Bowls because they added Barkley in there.
Yeah.
I believe Magic had a cameo appearance. Elijah Wan was in there. Oh, no, you're not going to get that ball over me.
Yep. You know what I mean? Magic was the one who stole the fries at one point, I think, if I remember correctly. It was genius.
Yes.
And for me, look, the genius of it really is like if you are a sports fan of all sports, you know, like we are pretty much. The tie into basketball. Basketball getting a little, a little love during the biggest sports event of the year in football. So they steal some of that thunder with two of its biggest stars. I definitely appreciated that one. It's super, super memorable. Yeah, one of my, forget Super Bowl commercials, one of my favorite commercials of all time.
It's one of the best. I mean, are there any others out there? I mean, I know that some people are going to comment on this. A lot of people have their own that they love.
What's that Twitter handle, Rob?
Our Twitter handle is at NickandRobE2W.
E2W. I do have one more. Can I do one more?
Of course you can.
My favorite commercial of all time, once again, is Pepsi. Again, their advertising department, kudos here. At the time this comes out, I think still one of the most beautiful women of all time. Cindy Crawford, 92, Pepsi commercial. She pulls up, I think it's a Ferrari, might be a Lamborghini. She's got the denim shorts on and the white tank top. And she goes and she gets a Pepsi out of the soda machine. And the kids are looking at the new Pepsi logo on the can. And they're like, man, that new Pepsi's beautiful. It is so brilliant. It is shot beautifully well, and it has maybe the most beautiful woman of all time in it. I cannot get enough of that commercial. So every once in a while, full disclosure, I'll Google that shit and still watch it.
Yep.
That's, I had to make it weird. I had to go a little Army Hammer on everybody. Just one look, that's all it took. That is my favorite commercial of all time, the Pepsi Cindy Crawford commercial. Just genius.
You perv.
I know. I'm sorry. She really sells it, though. She wasn't the worst actress. She should have made more movies. There's endless amounts. Please hit us up at Twitter if you have some suggestions. But you're not going to beat Cindy Crawford and Pepsi, so don't even bother.
We're quickly approaching halftime. You know,
are you excited about this year's halftime show, Rob? Can I ask that question? The Weeknd?
No, not really.
He's all right.
I mean, it's a catchy song that they keep playing.
Yeah.
But the fact that I keep hearing it over and over again makes me hate the song.
Me too. Yeah, they overplay The Weeknd a little bit.
He's got some good same ones. Thing with Smooth. I mean, when Smooth came out,
yeah.
All of a sudden, everybody's playing Smooth.
It made me want to punch Carlos Santana, and I love him.
On like R&B stations, country stations.
It ended Matchbox 20's run. They had a great run there, and that song killed it.
It was being broadcast by fire lasers from outer space. I mean, it was everywhere.
All right, so Super Bowl halftime shows. I remember quite a few of these. I remember pretty far back. They weren't always good. I remember when they were just getting their legs about them. Really, in my lifetime, in my adult lifetime, have they gotten to the point where like they are a super, super spectacle. But there are a handful that stand out to me.
Well, let's get it out of the way that, you know, the first one is always the best one. And
Shakira, J-Lo, not close.
No, they had the marching band back there in the Green Bay.
They used to do college marching bands.
It was the Super Bowl that had like show tunes in it. I mean,
yeah.
It was like,
remember there was like a Disney halftime show? I don't know what year that was. That was around the Bledsoe time frame. That was a rough ride.
Yes, I do remember that.
It was like the Under the Sea with the crab guy, Sebastian.
Up with People. They did that one too. Or something similar to that.
They're not all gems. I remember there was like an Indiana Jones theme one. I don't know if you remember that one.
Yes, I do.
That was weird. That was a weird one too. It's Indiana Jones with Tony Bennett. I was like, wait, what's happening? All right, so let's break this down. Give me, what would we do, two, three of them or so? Give me a couple good ones.
I'll start with a more recent one, Lady Gaga.
She's great. You like her more than me. I think she's an amazing vocal talent. I just don't love all those songs. So I do remember that one very clearly.
Lady Gaga did her halftime show, and it was all chock full of all of her hit songs. I mean, it was
that was Pat's Falcons, correct? Is that right? Pat's Falcons? That was Gaga.
I believe so.
Yeah, that's the one.
Lady Gaga helped the Patriots come back after the half.
Yep. Lady Gaga and Dan Quinn's awful, awful coaching. Matt Ryan's still not right. He still hasn't figured out how to throw the ball away and not take a sack and take him out of field goal range.
Lady Gaga could do anything.
That is a pretty good one. I wouldn't turn that one away. I thought that was pretty good. All right, my first one, Rob, is the Seahawks Bronco one. That last really bad blowout, I think it was 43-8. That's the one with Bruno Mars and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Because I didn't know a ton about Bruno Mars. It's rare that a Super Bowl halftime show that kind of introduces you to somebody. I had heard his stuff on the radio, but I hadn't really seen him perform or anything. So when he came out and just blew that one out of the water, and then the Chili Peppers were there too, I just remember like sometimes, I'm not going to lie, every once in a while, I'm not the guy who waits for halftime. I will go and get food, or I will go and get a drink or a beverage or a daddy soda at halftime. I'm going to do that sometimes. And this was one of those times where like I probably wanted to get up, but I did not because it was so good. So I just remember that one. They finished with Give It Away and Just the Way You Are, which is a really good Bruno Mars song. He just knocked it out of the park, man. It was fun.
The phantom bass that Flea played during this.
Yeah. Yeah, controversial too.
Was not wireless.
Ha 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 ha. Flea, one of the greatest bass players of all time. But you can't deny that it was you were entertained. Are you not entertained by the Chili Peppers and Bruno Mars?
He
had like the sequin jacket on. It was crazy cool.
I was very entertained. This next one, I was more entertained. It was his purple greatness. 2007 Prince halftime. Yeah. He just said, just let me do what I do. And he played the longest set of a halftime show. 7 or 8 songs. Of course, ending with Purple Rain, and it rained on him at the same time.
That was pretty amazing.
He is, without a doubt, one of the greatest guitar players that ever lived. The man knows his shit.
It's one of those things where we've talked about it before, where like it's a halftime show, you know, after they do like the Disney halftime show and weird stuff like that. If you're going to pick a band to do it, you've got to pick somebody that has the gravitas to kind of capture a huge stadium, you know, and be able to carry that. And there's few people that can do it as well as Prince. I think that he closes with Purple Rain, but he does like Let's Go Crazy, Proud Mary, All Along the Watchtower was on that set. And he, as you said, like it's not just the way he sings and performs. He's got the gravitas, he carries the stage, and the guitar just blows the roof off the doors there. That was a kind of a crappy Super Bowl, if you remember. That was the Colts-Bears, but just an incredible halftime show. Maybe the rare case where the halftime show is better than the game.
Yes, which could bring up another podcast in the very near future where we talk about the worst quarterbacks ever that made it
Rexy.
To a
Sexy Rexy! Rexy. He wasn't shell-shocked at all. He just gave it to Peyton Manning.
You know what was funny was that actually played very well in the first half of that game. It was the second half we lost it.
Yeah. I maybe have seen worse. Ironically, Peyton Manning was probably worse.
I mean, the last time the Bears played in the Super Bowl, obviously we know what happened then. And that halftime show, I believe, was the Banana Splits. But anyway.
We don't go back to that. We're not here to talk about the past.
What is your next?
All right. So the next one on my list, and in a weird way, I was somewhat offended by this one because I thought they oversaturated it. I've said to you many times, like, again, have a band that has a gravitas to sort of carry the stadium, right? Sets the vibe, is fun, brings the energy, right? I felt like, especially at this particular time frame, 2000 season, 2001 Super Bowl, Aerosmith had that gravitas. They were having a nice resurgence and they had put out like 4 really good albums in a row. They were crushing it. And then they kind of oversaturated it because they had NSYNC, Britney, Mary J. Blige, I think Nelly, if I'm not mistaken. So the set list was a little bit weird. But honestly, like, I freaking love that halftime show. I don't even like all those artists, but it was a great halftime show. It was fun. It was loud. It had a lot of energy. I enjoyed that one quite a bit. It's very close to my favorite.
They make the songs into a giant medley of songs. So you're not actually getting entire whole songs.
Yeah, because they don't want to take up that kind of time. Yeah. Honestly, Rob, we've said it before. I've told it to you the last time. That was the Ravens-Giants Super Bowl. Also kind of crappy, although I didn't totally hate it. That was the Ray Lewis one, right? But another instance where maybe the halftime show I remember more than the actual game.
My next one was when America was going through some tough times. We were down. We got attacked maliciously. And the talk this year was, will they play football? What happened was is they actually postponed the football season for 1 week, which forced Super Bowl to go into now its February date.
And remember this, Rob, this is a COVID year, right, where sports got postponed a lot. But prior to the COVID stuff, very rare for something like that to happen.
Right. A miracle happened. The Patriots, with a young, strapping quarterback, who I believe is playing now at the age of 58.
At that time, full disclosure, I was still sort of like, let Drew play.
Drew Bledsoe.
It's his game to win. That's when he discovered how to make a really good Cabernet.
Well, anyway, and the rest is history. We go to the Tuck Rule.
Deflated balls.
Snow Angels. It was a Friday night playoff game, I believe, also.
Yeah, that's right. Crazy. Weird. Yeah.
It was crazy. But the Patriots made it to the Super Bowl against the greatest team on turf.
Greatest show on turf. With a grocery store quarterback.
Yes, he played in the Arena Bowl. So
he was hard to dislike. I try to make the other team villains when it's against the Patriots, but I did like Kurt Warner. I liked him later on when he played for the Cardinals against the Steelers. I definitely rooted for Kurt. He was hard to not like. I've always liked him. Great story.
You know, we get down to the halftime show, and it was U2, and they only played 3 songs. But what happened during the halftime show, and it's very vivid in my mind, is they flashed the names of all the victims of the towers, of the Pentagon, and of the flight that went down down in Pennsylvania.
93, United 93.
And it was just touching. And I can just remember Bono on the stage, and they did this wide pan, and he opens his jacket, and inside his leather jacket is the American flag. And of course, my number one show was U2, 2002.
Yeah, the best thing about that, I think, is the like you said, the set list they choose to play with. U2 can have those long sort of runoffs of just instrumental. They're such a seasoned band, and they do Where the Streets Have No Name, and it just hits you right where you need it to be. That was an emotional time for everybody. I was in the military at that time. It was just a really weird time frame to be in the military, be an American. You just don't know what's going to happen. You had sort of, the innocence is all gone now. And I do remember that one vividly. And even though later on I would be mad at U2 for putting a mediocre album, forcing it on my iPhone, I'll always remember them for a great Super Bowl halftime show. Force the greatest hits on my iPhone, not that album. That album was just whatever, man. One good song. One okay song, let's be fair. All right. My last one is, it's not hard to figure out. One of my favorite Super Bowls, honestly. I had a ton of fun watching it. I was early on here in Vegas, so it was one of the first ones where I like actually had some money in my pocket and hit the sports book and had bet a lot on it. It was Pat's Eagles. Just a great Super Bowl and a great halftime show. Oftentimes, we have underestimated, just like Tom Brady's been underestimated many, many times in his career, we've underestimated solo Paul McCartney. I saw him the year before the pandemic in 2019. I was like, can this guy still rock? Yeah, he can still rock. In 2005, he definitely could still rock. He had a 4-song set. He closed with Hey Jude. Just before Hey Jude, Live and Let Die, one of the most underrated songs of all time. This is a great fucking song, great stadium song too. He crushed it. It was a great halftime show. That Super Bowl, I don't think I ever left my chair for like the 4 straight hours beginning to end. It was an exciting game. Andy Reid throwback, throwing up Donovan McNabb. Good game.
I mean, Andy Reid was the coach of the Eagles. Why didn't Paul McCartney play I Am the Walrus?
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
A very great halftime show.
Can we mention ones we did not like?
Halftimes we did not like?
Just briefly. Just give me one.
Okay, because the game sucked. It was the Tom Petty one. I really did not like it at all.
That was tough, yeah. I always love Petty, but...
I love Tom Petty. I love Tom Petty's songs, but man, that halftime show, it was just so lackluster. And
the one that I'm always reminded of, terrible choice from the get-go. Good band, no disrespect. I'm not a Coldplay hater or anything, but Coldplay's halftime, I think it's Super Bowl 50, they couldn't carry that halftime show. So then they bring in Beyonce and Bruno Mars, and they just sort of take the halftime thing over, and Coldplay just sort of lingers on in the background. I just remember that energy was really weird, and I really didn't like that one.
Yeah, that's the one where Coldplay had that really good song off that album. It was just the one good song off the album.
Viva La Something or Other, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, it had the same just beat going through the whole song.
Yeah, good song, but not like a stadium. So they're not Queen.
Honorable mention, however, there was a one halftime Super Bowl show that was really good. However, I just don't see this guy as doing football halftimes. And that was Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band.
Yeah, that was, I remember that one. I don't remember anything amazing about it, but he does Born in the USA. Glory Days. He closes with Glory Days. It wasn't bad. I don't know that I hated that one.
Song.
Yeah, it's a little weird that he probably was the wrong sport. You're right.
I mean, it would be something you'd see during All-Star, you know, like after the home run derby for baseball, you know,
yeah.
See little fruits.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That was a little bit weird. Again, you know, one of those things, the Tom Petty one, like I love Tom Petty, but you're right. It's also the year after the Prince one just blows the roof off the doors. So Tom Petty's got to come in and do after. Probably just a bad choice from the get-go. He probably should have been a couple years later.
And that was a Super Bowl in Jacksonville, right? Because I don't think he traveled anywhere for that.
No, it was Phoenix. It was Phoenix. Tom Petty was Phoenix.
Now we head off into our own halftime, Nick, which means that it's time for a word from our sponsor,
Anchor.
To save the world.
Yeah. Tom Brady could do that.
Tom Brady could do that.
And we're back.
Uncle Bookie, Nicky the Perv. Wait, Nicky the Greek. We're back, baby. Super Bowl's over. We got a post-game report. I just want to disclose to the audience who may not know Uncle Bookie that well, we were texting pretty ferociously during the game. It was so endearing to read the text about how much Uncle Bookie was rooting for Tom Brady, player, not the team, how happy he was when the game was over. I want to give you a little pat on the back. Thanks for being such a big fan of number 12.
You know that my whole thing this whole year was to be an asshole towards Tom Brady, because I was showing you you what it was like to live in Boston.
Where are the fireworks? Somebody hit the button. You crushed it.
It was my whole mission this entire year.
I thought you held something back. I thought you had a couple more texts in you, but I think the boring game kind of wore you down.
Yeah, I was asleep.
Next time we're going to live watch Tom Brady when he goes for number 8.
I'm going to wait for Tom Brady for number 11 because you know he's going to need to put it somewhere.
Number 11 is going to be with Josh McDaniels and Romeo Crennel. I can feel it. Romeo Crennel is going to catch a touchdown.
It's funny. I believe that Brady has thrown touchdowns to 3 non-receivers in his entire career, I believe.
I gotta say, Rob, I don't want to push your buttons, but I have to say it was an awful Patriot-like, that play call, that sort of the game script, the way they called the game, the way they ran over time, they controlled the clock, they were very good at clock management. They made a couple Arians goofy plays, there was that fumble there. But yeah, I sort of felt like I was watching a Patriots scripted Super Bowl.
That's because it was the Patriots playbook.
Well, look, I mean, you know, well, after 20 years, if he just remembers it, it's not really stealing.
See, Bruce Arians is not a coach. What he is he's a poor man's Iron Man, because if you look at him over on the sideline,
he's
got all his electronic devices all over.
Here's the thing. Full disclosure, I am somewhat happy for Bruce Arians. Not that he's somebody I really like, but he's had a distinguished career, college and pro. He came back in. There was a good story there. I'm happy he got a title, and I'm also happy Andy Reid didn't go back-to-back because he had a terrible game script. Now, I know there was some distraction and there were some other things, kind of a quarterback that was hobbled a little bit, but he didn't protect Patrick Mahomes. It was very frustrating watching the way they played that game. I just felt like Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles, these are guys I could root for. I think both of these guys deserve head coaching jobs, and I do think to some degree Leftwich and Bowles carried Arians to this one, along with the GOAT, Tom Brady.
They won't get head coaching jobs with the Jets, we know that, so...
Thank God for them.
They should just make the Jets the official minor league team of the NFL. That's where every coach goes to go and learn how to maybe, you know, get fired.
I think they're not going to win anyway. They should just have some fun with it. You know what I mean? They should just let, like, Pauly Shore be the head coach of the Jets.
I get a better idea. Like, Pauly D from the Jersey Shore head coach.
Speaking of that, Paramount, right? The Snooki in the Paramount Mountain commercial. That was kind of fun. I kind of like that.
Those were some different commercials. I will say that.
What did you like? I liked the Four Seasons landscaping commercial, even though I have no idea what Fervor does. I think they make websites or something like that. That was pretty cool.
I like the Rocket Mortgage commercials.
Yeah, Tracy Morgan, he cared. Yes. Yeah, it was great, man. It was good to see him. He looks great, and he was really crushing it. The Shaggy Mila Kunis Ashton Kutcher one, I enjoyed that one. I had a good time with the Doritos with the sort of cheesy puff residue everywhere.
That was funny. It could have done some different things.
I agree. The Jason Alexander one you like, I felt like they could have been better also.
That one could have been better. It was funny, though.
It was funny. It was, I laughed. Very, yeah.
Believe it or not, George is not home.
There was the Edward Scissorhands, Timothy Chalamet, Winona Ryder. That wasn't too bad.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That was funny. Wayne's World.
Oh, they killed it. I thought it could have been a little bit better, but I was happy with what I got.
You got to admit, it was funny. It was all the stuff they did in the movies with the shameless promotions.
Oh, it was genius. The little baby. Cardi B shows up. They look good. I would watch another Wayne's World movie, no doubt about it. Rob Lowe would have to be in it.
Bud Light Legends commercial.
Not bad.
Not bad. Not the best.
Yeah.
But we did get to see Cedric the Entertainer shake the bottles of beer again.
Yeah, I did appreciate that. I mean, it wasn't terrible. Maybe a little bit too long, but not bad. I felt bad for the Bud Light Knight who didn't make it to the end.
Oh, he's fine. I think the discarded remnants of Bud Light Platinum probably caught.
Got him? Okay, just a flesh wound then.
Yeah, just a flesh wound.
Of the emotional ones, and there were several, I'm a little bit biased on the Jeep stuff because I had one for so long, but the Reunited States of America, I thought that was kind of cool for a Jeep commercial. Tugged at the heartstrings a bit. I was okay with that one. I appreciated the sentiment.
That was Bruce's very first commercial ever.
He looked all right, I guess. I don't know why you're driving the Wrangler. 73? Yeah, okay. 73 years old. You don't drive the Wrangler with the top down in the wintertime. I'm just going to throw that out there.
It's Bruce freaking Springsteen.
He can do what he wants.
He does what he wants.
Guy's the boss. Yeah, there you go. All right.
He's driving down Thunder Road.
All right, so let's talk the game here. Obviously, the Chiefs sort of laid an egg. We talked about the game script. We didn't really love that. You know, I didn't think it was crazy terrible how it opened up. Chiefs defer Bucks come out. I thought they had a couple of bad first drives. Both of them, I think, had back-to-back three and outs before they got something going. You know, I had a lot of prop bets and stuff, so I was still somewhat excited. I don't think until about halfway through the first quarter did I start to think that the Chiefs don't look right. The speed of the Tampa Bay defense and obviously the offensive line, it started to show itself.
Yeah, I called half of the opener where I said Chiefs are going to win the
coin toss, yeah,
and they're going to take the ball. I honestly, you want to score first, that offense should have taken the ball first.
I was going to text back. I let it lie because I hate being wrong. And, you know, the coin toss is so variable. But I said if the Bucks won the toss, they were going to take the ball. But it didn't work out that way anyway. But I kind of agree with you. The Bucks, they kind of did the Bucks a favor by giving them the ball, even though they don't score on that. What they do is they kind of see what the defense is coming out as. They see sort of what the game script is on the defensive side. I thought Spagnuolo did a disservice by not bumping those Tampa receivers. It was almost like they told the defense of Kansas City that you can hold in the Super Bowl, nobody's going to call it. And then they started calling it all the time, and the Kansas City defense didn't have a way to pivot off of that.
Yeah, it was going both ways. Defense both ways were doing
it. Both defenses started hot. Absolutely. I agree with that. Yeah.
But both defenses were committing penalties. Unfortunately, only one team was getting called for this.
I don't have a problem with the folks that sort of bitch about the calls and the flags that were thrown. I think the Mike Evans tripping call, pretty ticky-tack. At least one of the holding calls was pretty bad. You know, the rest of them, I was kind of fine with. There was a roughing the passer call that I thought they shouldn't have called at all. Look, when Mahomes is running backwards and he's not throwing the ball, I'm sorry. You can hit him. That's how that works. But, you know, for the most part, I don't think the calls are what decided the game.
You know, there had to be some kind of ready shenanigans going on the lines, because come on, it was like
chippy. It was chippy. You could see them barking at each other for sure.
The Bucks were in the Kansas City backfield so much, it was like they were ready to set up tents.
The left tackle guy. Yeah, but they also, here's what I would say. So I'm not the expert at football scheming, but the two high safety thing was really good. I had thought that they were going to choose to take out either Kelce or Hill, but really by playing the safeties back like that, they kind of took them both out of the game. The weird thing was when Kansas City decided they were going to finally run, which was way too late, they were pretty successful with it. I don't know why they didn't take what the defense was giving them, establish the run, maybe do some more screens and control the ball. But Andy Reid is just incapable of that. You know, if you believe the Chiefs were the better personnel team, and maybe that's true, I think it was more game plan and they never adjusted. They really didn't make any adjustments.
No, let's talk about, okay, so the first points scored of the game, and this is what gets all the people going. Oh, let me check my squares. Who's got the 3-0? They get the field goal. Okay, fine. It's 3-0.
The kickers had a good day.
The kicker did. I mean, one of these days, a kicker has to be the MVP of a Super Bowl.
It should have been Vinatieri.
It should have been. That first one, it should have been. He should have been the MVP of the entire playoffs that year, if you recall. It was him that did all the damage.
Yeah. I mean, combined, they were, 7-for-7, I think. So both made 50-yard field goals, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah. For a team that didn't get one single COVID infection this entire season.
That was surprising. When you say it out loud, it's pretty wonky.
Especially in Tampa, the home of Pepsi.
I know. So. It's not like this is Jacksonville. This is Tampa.
Yeah. Let's talk about the touchdown. The record-breaking tandem Tommy DeGronk touchdown pass.
I mean, the legacy there, you think about Kelce sort of chasing Gronkowski as the greatest offensive tight end of all time. You know, Gronk, I got to say, all season, because I had him on a fantasy team, he did not look fast. And all of a sudden, he's fast again. That was somewhat shocking.
Okay.
Good play call.
Let's address the elephant in the room, though. The spike. The spike after the touchdown was not a typical Gronkowski spike. It was weak. It was so weak.
I mean, I was happy. There was this subtlety. I know that, it goes without saying that there is a sort of Patriots, Buccaneers sort of thing. I will say, ratings-wise, the Super Bowl did very well, 100 million people plus. But the Boston region beat the Tampa region in terms of the ratings. So I don't know what that means, you know, at face value, but that is somewhat impressive.
It's because everybody in Tampa was outside in the streets.
Or at the game.
No shoes, no shirts, yeah, no masks.
That was not their finest hour. But, you know, I expect nothing less. They acted like a college football fan base.
Yeah. And you know what, guys? I know you won. Congratulations. However, you're not a dynasty. The six previous rings that Tom has, those don't count for you.
I feel like the seventh one counts for us, though, don't you think? I mean, he threw three touchdowns, Gronkowski, Antonio Brown. Those are Patriots. Is that a sneaky FU to the Patriots or what?
It could be, because don't forget, their salary was pretty much paid already by the Patriots.
I picked Fournette to be MVP, and honestly, had they stuck with Fournette, they didn't need to, because Kansas City never really threatened. I thought he could have kept going. Ronald Jones got 12 carries to Fournette's 16, but I thought Fournette was well in control. He could have caught a few more balls if need be. They just didn't really need it. Can I ask you if you agreed with the MVP? I mean, I can't really pick anybody else. You could have maybe gave it to Gronk. I don't think I would have gave it to any one in particular defensive player. Probably would have gave it to Brady, you know, just based on how the game flow went. He controlled the game.
It was going to him, and I think it was based on, if you watch the entire game, he did not smile once on the sidelines of that game. He didn't smile. He wasn't laughing.
How about when he came out of the tunnel? It looked like he was going to a funeral. I was like, what's wrong?
Now, was it the fact that it wasn't a fun Super Bowl?
Maybe.
You know, he didn't have to make a comeback?
Maybe. I mean, I'm not totally sure. I think he just wants it in the books, but there wasn't, you know, ultimately, it ended up being something of a boring game. We're going to get to halftime a little bit. But I think he was just that kind of focus. I do think it had an impact on other players. I think he wanted to not have people celebrating on the sidelines till it was clear, you know, till we had about 4 minutes left and that thing was over. I want to bring this up because I think it's important to have a discussion about it. Look, you're missing two offensive linemen. You don't plan around that per se. You don't apparently have any backup plan. You could run, but choose not to. Mahomes is clearly not moving that well. He took a lot of punishment in this game, Rob, whether they threw flags or not. I worry that he's 25 years old. I think he's probably the best quarterback, maybe best player in the NFL right now. You should be protecting him more. And I think Andy Reid should be criticized for not doing so.
Was I mistaken? Were they only using Edwards-Helaire as the back?
Yeah. They ran with Darrell Williams only twice, I think. Mahomes ran five times and they only did the Tyreek thing one time. So they did mix it around a bit. But Helaire only gets 9 rushes. That is a failure of coaching. Now, I know the game gets out of hand, but still, based on what you were seeing and, you know, the way they were doing that sort of zone shell defense, I don't know, man. They needed to run the ball more. They score one touchdown. Maybe that interception goes their way instead of a flag. You know, maybe the fumble where they don't pick it up. This game could have gone a little bit differently. It certainly could have been closer than what it was. They had very little energy and a terrible game plan. And I'm mad at that, but it's Andy Reid, so I'm not surprised by that. What I'm most mad about is that you're 25-year-old quarterback with a gimpy leg is getting slaughtered, and yet you're still sort of just leaving him out there. That throw where he's about to hit the ground and he sort of sidearms it, even though it's not a completion, that was an incredible throw.
It was. I mean, turf toe is no joke. I mean, that hurts.
You could tell. I mean,
If anybody wants to know what it feels like, think about stubbing your toe, okay? And then as you stub your toe, smash it with a hammer.
Yeah, it's rough.
Then put your shoe immediately on and walk around on it.
Credit to Patrick. He didn't use it as an excuse, but ultimately the great defense beats the great offense. No touchdowns. I mean, who had that prop bet?
Nobody had that. And like I said, maybe Tom wasn't happy because it wasn't just him and his touchdowns that beat the Chiefs. It was the defense. This defense came out of nowhere, I mean, to play this caliber. This looked like, you know, Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel defense.
Well, I don't know about nowhere. Last year, because I'm a Jameis fan, I have to admit that to America. It's a little bit embarrassing, but I still like Jameis. I hope he ends up on the Patriots. I was on the Bucs last year, and I do think they had a good defense. I knew it was speedy. The problem was it wasn't very disciplined. I was a Todd Bowles fan to begin with, at least as a defensive coordinator, obviously not as a head coach. So I did think they had some talent there. I certainly like the offensive weapons and Godwin and Evans. You know, they get Fournette. They get Gronk. He didn't do a ton, but he's a good blocking back. There are a lot of pieces to the puzzle that all had to work. Obviously, they did because they won the Super Bowl. But I'm not shocked that the Bucs went to the Super Bowl. I'm not shocked that they won it. And I think, you know, they'll be pretty good next year. Although you're just playing with Father Time here. And eventually Brady's going to get hurt. And that's probably how it's going to end.
Right. I mean, it's been very difficult difficult for a team to go back-to-back and win back-to-back. The last time that happened was...
Patriots and the... It was the Eagles and the Panthers. That was the back-to-back.
Panthers and the Eagles. Yeah. That was the last back-to-back same team championship. And folks, when you win three championships within a span of 3-4 years, that's a dynasty.
You know, I didn't watch a lot of the post-game when it was over. It was kind of a sleepy Super Bowl, all things considered. So I was pretty much done when it was over. But I kind of went to bed hoping that I would wake up to the news that Tom Brady pointed his finger up in the air and said, I'm going to call it a career. I would have been surprised, but I was rooting for that to happen. He's clearly not going to do that. He's probably going to play 2 more years. Now I'm starting to think that even if he blows out his ACL next year or breaks a leg, he's going to heal himself and play another year. He's legitimately going to try to play till 45, 46. And I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, again, it's a kid's game. Play as long as you can. Play as long as you want to. Play as long as you're effective. But my stomach is a little get uneasy each time that he takes a sack.
He rubs the avocado on the skin.
I do love avocado. Shouts to Tom Brady.
Okay, so it's no surprise. They did end up winning 31-9. One of the guys actually picked the score, but in the opposite direction.
You have points for that?
In the pregame. And he had 31-9 Chiefs. Because it's going to sound like I'm being a little critical of this, but Tom said he wanted to win without the Patriot way. However, it took 3 Patriots on the roster to help him win.
Everybody wins. Everybody wins, Uncle Bookie. That's how I feel about that. Let's talk about the halftime show, because I didn't totally hate it. He pulled the Prince, which is the one guy carries the entire thing. I like the music. The sound was terrible. I'm not entirely sure like what the theme was. It kind of reminded me of like Dick Tracy back in like 1990 or whatever. I don't know that he was right for that halftime show. And it's the rare case where like certainly like the artist, I like him a lot the weekend, but I don't think he should have been there by himself. They should have brought out Beyonce. They should have brought out NSYNC or whatever. They probably should have done something.
The face wrappings.
I don't totally understand that. I think it's like the journey of like he battled addiction and other things. And
No. The album is a concept album and it's based on a car crash victim. So that's what those are for.
He was in a suit?
Yeah, well, you know.
Whose dancers are holding flashlights, but they're doing no particular choreography whatsoever?
Yeah, that was kind of weird. It was...
I mean, you know, I'm not the best dancer either.
I hearken that dance to Will Ferrell in Old School when he did the ribbon dance. That's what that looked like to me.
Yeah, so, that's about right. The music was good. And he got like from the top of the stage down to the field pretty smoothly. There was no issues with any of that stuff. But it felt kind of boring.
It was boring. Like I said, he's got great songs, but they're not songs for a Super
Little
Bowl.
Coldplay in there. But see, Coldplay, they bring out Bruno Mars and Beyonce because they know what they're dealing with. Maybe you don't need both those guys, but you probably need somebody else.
You need a collaboration. I mean, what he started doing, You're Worth It. I mean, that's from 50 Shades of Grey. What does that have to do
good
with...
Good point.
If you recall, when they went to Romo and...
Romo struggles. Hey, listen, he was exposed. Can we talk about this for a second, Uncle Bookie? Romo cannot call a blowout game. He's trying so hard to stay excited, but he's really not. And that is very transparent.
Okay. There's something else that people have to realize. If anybody taped the game, recorded the game, DVR'd the game, whatever you do, watch the halftime when he is standing there with Jim Nantz. And Romo's got his hands down, crossed in front of himself, down below his belt. When he lifts his belt up, very clearly you can see a pee-pee stain in his pants.
You know what? I'll allow it.
You know what? I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
Either he blew his wad when Brady threw a touchdown, second touchdown.
Could have been. Wrong. I'll also allow that.
Or,
you know what, Rob? I'll allow it.
Or he had an accident and he needs, or he's trying to get a Depends commercial for the next Super Bowl.
Sometimes you got to shake and bake. Somebody's behind you. You feel a little bit weird in the restroom. You know, you got to do what you got to do. It happens. It's part of life. I'm fine with it. That's not what bothers me about Romo. A little bit of pee is fine. The problem is he didn't know what the fuck to do. It was a 4-score game, basically. And he was like, oh, this could be it. Like, no, Romo, that's not it. It's over. It's been over for 7 minutes and you can stop now.
4 scores and 3 field goals ago. Tony Romo would normally come in to try to help Romo calm him down.
They're sort of the yin and the yang, although I think that's a terrible team. And he was just letting Romo go. He didn't even try to help him.
Tommy Smothers and Richard Ramirez.
Yeah, that's it, man. It's the Night Stalker and the Yo-Yo Man.
Yeah, Nance didn't bail him out.
Not even one time. Come on, Nance. This is what you get paid like $50 million a year for.
The very stupid taunting call.
Yeah, I knew you were going to bring that up.
Acts like you've been there.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you on that. I don't care that much. Didn't bother me. At that point, I was already bored anyway.
It wasn't like when Dikembe Mutombo used to block shots.
No.
You know, and put the finger up in your face. This was like, ha, 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 ha,
that was. It was definitely a you suck. It was like a 17-year-old baseball player striking out a 13-year-old baseball player and then jumping up and down.
Right. If you're going to do that, wait till the ref is at least 10 yards away from you and then you can't hear it. Not when the ref is right next to you.
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of, and I know you're going to argue the holding calls. The one thing I would say about some of those holding calls was when the ref is right there, I mean, you have to have some self-awareness there. And I think that bit Casey a couple of times and they were shell-shocked from it for sure.
Yeah, the delay in throwing the flag a lot. I mean, that drives me bananas.
So let's close it out. Can Tampa Bay win or be back next year?
They will challenge.
Full healthy season for Tommy?
Only time will tell. Are they going to bail and jump ship like the Eagles did when they said they were going to be the repeat champions? And then all of a sudden everybody decided to take off and go to other teams?
Could that be. I don't know how many free agents they have. They definitely have a couple. Do you think Gronk will come back for another year?
I don't know. I mean,
they're 10-1 right now in Vegas, just for those who care. And let me ask this question. On the flip side of that coin, you know, Andy Reid, he's probably going to come back. The Chiefs, are they good enough to come back, make another Super Bowl, potentially push for a win there?
They could push for another win, but the Bills are going
to
be hungry.
Bills are 12-1.
The Browns are going to be hungry because they got a taste of being in the playoffs.
They
got
a win.
Long time.
And you said it right there. The win is what's important for the Browns. I think they do have a little bit of work to do. They got a little work to do in the offseason there. Maybe shore up a cornerback or two. And they're going to have to find a way, if Odell doesn't come back, to get some kind of receiving help so Baker can throw a tiny bit more. But the Browns at 25-1, given what you saw this year, those two running backs are coming back. I think I like that bet quite a bit. I like those odds, at least.
The NFC is up in the air as far as what else is going to happen.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of quarterback movement that's supposedly going to happen. We're probably not going to get as much as we think. But the Patriots, let me ask you that question. The fans definitely want to hear us talk about it. Do you think the Patriots can compete next year for an AFC East title, compete for a playoff win, potentially make a little run in the playoffs?
I know for sure that Cam will not be back. And he will never play another game in the NFL as a quarterback. I know.
Really?
This.
Yeah.
It will not
it's happen. Sad. It's not like he's a guy I don't. I mean, he got beat up bad in his career, and it's unfortunate that it went that way. I enjoyed, believe it or not, the season of watching him in a Patriot uniform. There was a lot of fun during that season. There were a few moments where the shoulder kind of got loose and he could make a few throws, but it just didn't last that long. And ultimately, he couldn't throw anymore. You can't be a quarterback in the NFL if you can't throw.
Like I said, his days as an NFL quarterback are over. Didn't say his career was over, but his days as an NFL quarterback are over. Patriots are going to have to rebuild.
Full rebuild?
I personally want them to go to the draft for a quarterback. I really do. I don't want them to trade for anybody.
What's Belichick? Belichick's, I mean, what, 67, 68?
Yeah. I mean, you know that team's reins are going to be handed over to Josh McDaniel.
I've heard that many times. Are you comfortable with that?
I am. As long as he has the right coaches around him, as far as defense and special team. Matt Patricia could be a good choice. I mean, I would go with someone a little bit more seasoned.
Yeah, me too.
Whoever's available. You never know. I mean, San Francisco gave up their defensive coordinator to coach the Jets, so he might be available.
Yeah, that's fair. I would definitely do. Jimmy G, you want to see Jimmy G come back?
I wouldn't mind seeing Jimmy G come back. I mean, San Francisco doesn't know what they're doing.
They're
confused. I mean, they're already thinking
That's a precipitous drop for Frisco. I don't know what's going on there. Frisco is 16-1. I think Vegas is giving him way too much credit. I'll tell you, Jalen Hurts. Obviously, Carson Wentz is going to get traded. The Eagles at 50-1. That's a team I could see get on a little run there and at least make the playoffs, you know? Maybe you can hedge that 50-1.
Today is the day after the Super Bowl, obviously, and every year the Harris Poll has, you know, a nice little survey, and they predict how many people are going to call out sick today in the United States. And it was 16 million people they predicted, and they usually say that 4.4 million people call out sick. 8.8 people call in a personal day, and other people just don't even bother to call at all.
Yeah.
They just don't show up.
But this isn't like a normal year, Rob. I think that this particular year, it's pretty docile. I know I watched the Super Bowl by myself. I was drinking and eating buffalo wings, but it's not like I was jumping up and down and partying.
So that's the Harris poll prediction. We'll actually have the real stats in
I'm taking the
days.
Under.
It's going to be way
yeah,
under.
Well, ultimately, Rob, what's your final thoughts on Super Bowl 55? Was it a thumbs up, a thumb in the middle, or a thumbs down?
It's a thumb to the
yeah,
side.
I agree.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. Tom got number 7. He actually smiled when he held the trophy. He actually smiled more when his family was
that
on
was
the field.
That was cute. Boy, that's and a handsome family.
I still think that he was like thinking in the back of his mind, like, yeah, this is okay. I got my 7th, but I like to do it myself. So maybe next year he's going to just completely get rid of every other player in the team and just play 1 versus 15.
Tom Brady, the free safety. I like it. All I can say is we're on to the Celtics. We're on to the Bruins. The NFL season 2020. In the final analysis, you know, they didn't do a terrible job. We picked on them very early. I didn't think they handled COVID particularly well, but they got through the whole season. Couple weird delays, couple weird things. You got to give them some credit. It's ultimately the 2020 season is a win for the NFL. And I look forward to next year.
And did anybody find the cardboard
the
cutout?
Squid!
You will not go back to the Krusty Krab.
We want to know. Send your emails
I
in
know where
now.
It was. That's spoiler.
East to West with Nick and Rob at gmail.com.
East to West with Nick East and Rob West. At gmail.com. What's the Twitter?
Twitter is at Nick and Rob E, the number 2W. That's Nick and Rob E2W.
The two things that were more exciting than the game was the search for the squid and then the guy in the pink leotard running on the field.
Oh my God. Would you think that a pandemic game would only 22,000
like people
at it?
No, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little more Scotty Steiner.
Yeah. Was he already there? Did he sneak in? I mean, what's up with security?
Right? It's
22,000 people
it
to
was,
watch.
That was like the most, at that point of the game anyway, it was the most emotion you got out of Brady because he legitimately was like, what in the F?
He just raised his eyebrow like yeah. The Rock. All right. So I got a little story to tell you. Do you remember the NBA referee named Tim Donaghy?
Yes. Yes. I had him hedge one of my parlays.
Yes. If you don't know who he was accused of shaving points in a betting scandal as a ref on bets that he'd placed. And he got suspended, fired, banned for life.
He's
in the
Pete
NBA.
Rose's manager now over there at Caesar's Palace.
Well, Nick, he's
oh,
back.
Oh, you can't and keep him do you, down.
What do you think he's back as?
He is back as a line cook at Arby's.
No, even better. Who did you say ran across the field during the Super Bowl? Who did you say that
pump?
One? Okay, that should give you an
is
idea.
Is he announcing wrestling?
No, he was a referee for Major League Wrestling, which you can find on beIN Sports.
Wow.
Major League Wrestling. And he helped a guy retain the Caribbean Championship by blocking another guy from touching the 4th turnbuckle. He literally stood in front of the person who was trying to do it, blocked him from getting to the 4th turnbuckle
wow.
to win the Caribbean strap
I
match.
Am speechless. I am speechless. You know what? Good for him. I'll allow it.
You know what? I'll allow it.
So you thought he was gone, you thought he was retired, but he was wrong. He's back.
I gotta go check Bovada. I gotta see what the odds are in Major League Wrestling are.
Major League Wrestling, MLW. It's on beIN Sports, and he'll probably be on for a couple of weeks or whatever. I don't think they're going to hire him full-time as a referee, but we'll see.
He needs the money. Hire him. I just saw him at the sports book. I was cashing Bucks future bets, and he was right next to me. He needed to borrow a couple bucks. All right, Rob, we are bi-weekly at Season 2 for East to West with Nick and Rob, or we're going to have a slightly looser schedule this season. It's always a pleasure, sir. I'm happy to be back for another season of E2W, so I look forward to next week where we recast and reboot The Godfather, right? Is that what we're doing? I got to check the notes.
Well, yeah, in the 10 commandments.
Oh, the 10 commandments.
Make
it God damn it. Let my people go.
We're going to go through the movie, go through all the commandments, and then figure out which one should be taken away.
I know which one. I know what's my first choice. I definitely know what's my last choice.
Thou shalt not go against Uncle Bookie.
Peace out, sir.
Later.
What was the Budweiser frogs?
Budweiser.
Budweiser.